Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's done. The 35, the 30, the 40. He's done. He's done. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Woo-hoo. Kick up. Kick it long away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri goes to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Rogers Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up, throws. Touchdown!
The rush. Gonna be hit. Gonna be sacked. No, he got out of it. Now he fires downfield. And it is caught. Caught at the 24-yard line. How in the world did he do that?
And just like that, Turkey Day has come and gone. And there went week 12 of the NFL season. And now suddenly all the prognostication, all of the suppositioning, the what-ifs begin to develop as we sit around and, well, engage in a very, very entertaining pastime of just trying to figure out what the playoff picture is going to look like. Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House, my company here on the last Tuesday evening of November, November 29th. Hey, it's our 50th. How do you like that one? It's our 50th Red Zone Blitz program as well. And, well, we're going to be here for the next 90 minutes or so. We're going to take a look back at Week 12, which was an entertaining one. Some good matchups there on Thanksgiving Day, which now seems like it was, gosh, it seems like it was about 10 days ago already, doesn't it? It's really weird how that happens. Good matchups on Turkey Day, some pretty good matchups all throughout the rest of the weekend. Some interesting outcomes, some not so interesting outcomes, some ones you kind of expected. And we're going to get into talking about, as I pointed out, now that we're three quarters of the way through the season, hard to believe, just going to start to sit back and really let the wheels go, as it were, to kind of figure out what the playoff picture is starting to look like. And what's it going to look like up in the NFC North? Because at this point right now, hey, it looks like it might be the Lions that could end up winning that division because, well, I don't know. Are the Green Bay Packers back in it? They got a big win last night. And if they get a win this weekend, as I was just pointing out pre-show, hey, suddenly everybody's going to be saying, don't you dare sleep on the Green Bay Packers. They're back in it. So Green Bay. Can we say Minnesota's out of it? Ooh. Interesting division up there. That right now the Detroit Lions lead, thanks to a win this past Thursday on Turkey Day. They got themselves a win, and that puts them solidly in front right now for the moment, anyhow, in the NFC North. The Cowboys got a win as well on Turkey Day. Nobody's necessarily a bit surprised by that one, but that's 10 wins in a row for the Cowboys, holy smokes, and suddenly a lot of people are talking about them being Super Bowl bound. Of course, they've got another team in their own division, and that's the 8-3 Giants, a quiet 8-3 Giants, I must say. I got questions about that team, even though. I mean, all right, they're 8-3. I don't know. They don't exude. I don't necessarily get any great, tremendous feeling from the Giants, despite the fact they're 8-3 and one of the best records in the entire NFL. Are they really a legitimate playoff team? Well, we might knock that one around as well. The Raiders are a lot of fun. Come on, we've been talking about them all season long. And you know, when you take a look at the Raiders, one of the things that came to my mind today, they're the 2016 version of the anti-Broncos, aren't they? When you think about it, same division, the whole bit. Broncos won it all last year on defense. The Raiders, not a lick of defense, but man, oh man, do they put up some offensive numbers. And that's what they're doing over there. They're the anti-Broncos right now, leading the AFC West. And, well, hey, the Chiefs pulled off a big win the other night. And now you got to think to yourself, you take a look at the playoff picture as it is right now. I was just bringing up the Broncos. Who doesn't even make the playoffs if the season ended today? How about the Denver Broncos? Think about that one. That's really something else to think about. And then lo and behold, meanwhile, we've got the AFC North, which right now just looks like the, as I put it, the division of attrition. Who will be the last man standing up in the AFC North? Well, we're going to talk about all of those sorts of things and anything else that might be on your mind. If you want to jump in with us, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports, 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. Let me get my co-host in here, Brandon. How are we doing tonight, Brandon? Pretty good Turkey Day matchups on Thanksgiving Day, which, like I said, feels like it was now almost 10 days ago, amazingly.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
But now this is that fun time of the season, if you can call it a fun time. It's at that fun time of the season where, you know, we were kind of talking about it a little bit pre-show. It really won't get full-blown until, like, week 16, right as you go into week 17, and you get all those different combinations of things that have to fall just right. You know, this has to, this is it. You know, you get all those kinds of conditions that have to take place for certain teams to make it into the playoffs. But really, it doesn't seem to matter what program you listen to. If you talk football, everybody's talking about what the playoff picture looks like at this point. And there are enough things now that have kind of worked them their way out that you can start to make some educated guesses. That's what kind of makes all of this a lot of fun. Of all of the different divisions that we're looking at, which one jumps out at you as being the most compelling?
I like the NFC East, honestly. I still think Dallas, the Giants, Redskins, and even the Eagles to some extent, are all better than everybody thought they were going to be. I don't think anybody would have expected the competition in that division. The AFC West is almost equally as good, but as you just pointed out, you know, some teams are starting to distance themselves from the others. You know, where I still think in the NFC East, at least you still have three teams in play, where the Broncos, if they ended it right now, would not be in play. So I guess I'd have to go with the NFC East as my most compelling right now.
For the Washington Redskins, though, and I'm just taking a look here for a moment, who does Washington play this upcoming week? Washington is at Arizona. Arizona is a 2.5-point favorite. Now, that's the matchup coming up for week 13. Washington right now at 6-4-1, and New York just ahead of them at 8-3. If Washington were to drop this game against Arizona, Brandon, would you still seem to think that there might be three teams up there that would be vying for it? Or at that point, it doesn't start to look too good for Washington, does it?
Well, right now, they're the second wild card. You know, there's only one team you know, the Vikings in the North and the Buccaneers in the in the South that are even, you know, in the same, you know, area with records. So it's not like they have a lot of competition even. So, you know, could they lose the game? It depends what the others do. I don't see the Buccaneers, you know, as a playoff team. I think Minnesota would be the one I'd, you know, keep my eye on. But, you know, that half game they have from that tie could come into play as things, you know, go into it. And you know, between that, you know, right now that half game, you know, to me gives them a pretty good edge. And they're playing good football. I mean, even though they lost to Dallas on Thanksgiving, they were in that game. It was not like it was a blowout. I mean, that game went back and forth. You know, it ended 5 points apart. Dallas is, that's one of the closer games I think Dallas played this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I'm not going to, you know, rule the Redskins out, even if they would lose. It's just, I think they're okay. I think they have a little, you know, like I said, they have a little pie in the bank, you know, back pocket kind of deal. You know, you know, as long as they can stay even in the win column, they'll be ahead in the loss column. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
You're absolutely right that tie absolutely could be a real bugaboo in a tight situation against a team like, you know, Minnesota is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Because,
yep,
you know,
exactly.
you could see a Minnesota, you know, scrapping and clawing and, you know, kind of, just inching their way up, trying to get into that position of vying for that final wild card spot, and missing it by just that much. When you take a look, though, I don't even have stats up in front of me. I'm just using an eyeball test, I guess, for one of something, you know, for one of a better phrase. Eyeball test. Washington Redskins, New York Giants. New York Giants are an 8-3 team. Washington 6-4-1. As you point out, the most important of those, the win column. Washington 2 games behind the Giants in the win column. But doesn't Washington feel like a more well-rounded team than the Giants?
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you're right. I think they do. You know, and that may play out. You know, there's some tough games ahead for, you know, for the Giants. They have to play Dallas again. I don't think, you know, you might see some movement there. I mean, really, if you look at the loss column, the Redskins are only one loss behind the Giants. You know, it's the win column they got to catch, you know, they got to catch up with. And I believe they have a game, you know, head-to-head still to go, too. So I, you know, there's nothing set in stone with these playoff pictures just yet. I don't think any of these teams that we brought up are, you know, what you would call a lock. I think you can pretty much lock Dallas in.
Yep.
The way Detroit's playing, I think you can safely say they're going to make at least a wild card team with only 4 losses. I mean, Atlanta is only, you know, they are only a game ahead of the Buccaneers, and the Saints are only 2 games behind. And, you know, I'm sure there's some head-to-head matchups in there with that division yet that could play out. I think Seattle's relatively safe. They got the tie thing in the bank, too, like the Redskins do, so that might help, you know. I think that'll pretty much give them that division. So the Seattle's probably locked in. So your NFC, you know, starting to come into play, but I think there's a lot to be said yet. I think you pointed it out with the Packers. They could come back yet. Washington and the Giants are still, you know, to be determined. The Vikings. I don't like the trajectory the Vikings are on. And I finally did see a little tidbit on the whole OC leaving.
Really? Finally?
Yeah, him and the head coach apparently had a fundamental disagreement on the direction of the offense. And if you look at the head coach's comments where he said he was doing it his way, you know, we're getting back to my that pretty much locked in what North Turner was talking about. He said he's not retired. He's not done coaching. He's just done coaching. you know, for the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow.
So, you know, him and Zimmer had a big disagreement, you know, at a fundamental level. And his option was to no longer deal with it.
So North Turner actually came out and actually made some statements recently, huh? I miss it.
I think he did that only put comments out there to let teams know he was still available, I think, to be honest.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, now, isn't Zimmer a defensive guy?
Yeah, primarily. But he's one of those – he looks like he's one of those control freak coaches who, you know –
Oh, you think he's the micromanager?
Yeah. I don't think he can keep his hands out of anything. I really liked how he started with the Vikings. I don't like how he's gone this year. I don't like how he's handled the team. I don't like the 1 week he came out, called his team soft. You don't do that in the public. You don't throw your players, you know, under the bus like that. If you want to call them soft behind closed doors, you know, that's fine, but don't do it in the media. You know, and I think, you know, that might have been part of, you know, the disagreement, because it was right after that week where North Turner left. So, I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't like the trajectory the Vikings are on. I just,
you know,
they had a much better feel earlier in the year.
That is not a risk, I think, that I would have wanted to take this year when, you know, the Vikings being where they are. You just lost your quarterback. You know, you go out, you bring in a quarterback from the outside. You know, what was it? North Turner had only been – I think that was only, what, like week four when he walked away. So you're only a couple of weeks into the season. You got a brand-new quarterback in there who's still trying to learn the system. That's a really arrogant, stupid thing on Zimmer's part, in my opinion, to kind of do that.
To kind of force that issue, I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
All the other control freak coaches we see in the league, you know, will still, you know, talk to and give their coordinators, you know, an ear, you know, or at least a voice in what's going on. Even you could call Belichick maybe one of those, but he certainly, you know, has, you know, coordinators, you know, always has, that have been very active in, you know, the team. So I don't understand where Zimmer's coming off thinking, you know, it's almost like he's playing a power trip card he didn't need to play. He should have found a way to work with North Turner, is I guess my opinion is. And North Turner, I think, has earned a little bit as an OC. He's one of those coaches who's had many head coaching jobs, but he's truly a very good OC. And
yeah,
you know,
I was just about to say that. You know, look, you're not talking about any OC here,
right,
too. You're
right.
Talking about North Turner, who's
exactly.
been around the block a bit. You know, this isn't, you know, you know, with due respect, we're not talking about Frank Reich of the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. You're talking about North Turner. A bit arrogant, I would say, on the part of Mike Zimmer. And you know, like you, I kind of looked at Mike Turner over the past couple of seasons and given him a big pat on the back and have really been, I've really been wowed by the guy with what he's been able
Zimmer,
to do.
Zimmer has done. I thought he was, you know, a up and coming coach, and I've really lost a lot of respect for him just the way he's handled things this year on a team that came out, you know, ready for bear, essentially. They were, you know, they came out and they won. They were undefeated for, I don't know, 5-6 weeks. They looked really good. Weren't they the last undefeated team till the Eagles beat them?
Till the Eagles, right.
To have to go through that where you essentially force your OC out the door, I don't know. I have issues with that to a degree. I'll be honest. I think he could have handled things a little better.
Yeah, and like I said, and the timing just all wrong too. You come back and I asked you what's the most compelling division. You say the NFC East. I have to say, you alluded to it. I still have to say the AFC West to me is the most compelling for a couple of reasons. Number one, the number one spot isn't yet decided. And yeah, while it's not yet decided in the NFC East either, I think everybody looks at the rest of the competition there with the Giants and the Redskins and says, well, this division is probably going to be Dallas's.
Yeah.
Over in the AFC West, you got the Raiders right now who do sit up at the top. But as we pointed out, Kansas City beat the Broncos the other night. Now, that was a game, if I'm not mistaken, that went to overtime in order for them to win by just a mere 3 points. So now you got Kansas City sitting there in second place. Denver is in third with just two games out of the division lead. So you've got three teams right now, all of whom I think any one of them could win the division. And I think the other two could certainly be the wild card for the AFC. To me, I think the AFC West is without a doubt the most compelling and without a doubt the most enjoyable team. One of the more enjoyable teams to watch are the Oakland Raiders. They are just a fun team to watch. They almost, to me, they almost make me giddy just from the standpoint that who'd have thunk this team could turn this around as greatly as they have. I really didn't think, Brandon, that this year would be the year we would see this team at 9-2, and they've yet, knock on wood, to lose a game on the road. I mean, it's just absolutely remarkable. We've talked about the Oakland Raiders now for the better part of a couple of seasons right here on this program. We've been talking about them building. I didn't anticipate that the Raiders would be at the top of their division this year. I thought maybe another year. Both you and I have both recognized, as they've been through this building process, even last year I was bringing it up, the weakness that Oakland Raiders has is their defense. And it's funny because, you know, as I was putting the show together this afternoon and early this morning, I said, when you take a look at the AFC West, the Denver Broncos won this division last year on the strength of their defense. They won the AFC last year on the strength of defense. They won the Super Bowl on the strength of defense. The Oakland Raiders this year are the anti-Broncos. And yet we always hear that it's defense that wins championships. So one would say Oakland may have enough to win the division. They may have enough to get into the playoffs. They may even have enough to win a playoff game. But the history would tell you they probably don't have enough on the defense to get a championship. Right?
Well, tough to say. I think that defense wins championship thing is kind of skewed a little bit in recent years to the more offense than defense. We've seen teams win the Super Bowl who haven't had the greatest, you know, defenses in the last few years, but still, I agree. I mean, it's certainly one of the best divisions in football. It's most entertaining to watch, to follow, to, you know, watch the head-to-head division games. Definitely at the top of the list, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the division to keep your eye on.
The only reason I said the NFC East was the most compelling is everybody expected that division to be garbage. And you got Dallas and you know, New York Giants and the Redskins that are all, you know, solidly in the playoffs. That's to me, I think that's the only reason I picked it over. I think the AFC West is definitely the most competitive. And, you know, they have, as you pointed out, three teams that are all right there on the cusp of winning the division. I think Denver's facing an uphill battle at this point to win the division. I'm not saying they couldn't make a playoff, you know, they could still make the playoffs as a wild card, but they got a tougher hill to climb than they did, you know, not too long ago. I mean, they recently lost to, you know, the Raiders and the Chiefs. That's going to make it tough when you keep losing in division.
I would agree with you that the NFC East is without a doubt the most surprising of the divisions. Because as you point out, everybody, I think, I don't think I heard anybody come out and say, oh, no, you know, watch this division now. They're going to be a powerhouse. No one expected to see what we have going on in the NFC East the way that we've had almost all season long. I will go out on a limb at this point right now and say that unlike a couple of weeks ago, I don't think you're going to see both wild card teams come out of the NFC East. I think you'll get one. I don't think you'll get two. I'll go out on a limb today and say that as we go into week 13. You'll get one, I think, out of the NFC East, not two. I think Tampa Bay certainly have a shot at it. Wanted to get your thoughts before I jump out of the talking about divisions and getting into talking about a couple of specific games. Want to get your thoughts, though. What you're thinking right now about the division of attrition, the AFC North?
You're right. It's a division of attrition, but I still say, you know, what I've said all along. I think in the end, Pittsburgh's going to win. I think they're just going to find a way to win. I think they're the best team of the bunch. I don't know what's wrong with them right now. You know, they're not what they were at the beginning of the year yet. I think they can get back to that. I think Baltimore, I don't think Baltimore has the staying power to stay with Pittsburgh when it's all said and done. And Cincinnati, if they weren't already done, when they lost AJ Green and Giovanni Bernard, you can say they're done. You know, they lost half their offense, you know, in one game, so they're out. So it's really down to the two, you know, the two that are left. And, you know, I don't think the Ravens are quite there yet. I think they're still in a bit of a rebuild or retool mode, whatever you want. I think the Pittsburgh's the more complete team. They don't always look like it on a week-to-week basis. So, you know, I mean, they look pretty good against the Colts last week, but then anybody's going to look good against the Colts, especially when you don't have Andrew Luck in there. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes the next couple of weeks. But, you know, I still think Pittsburgh's going to end up winning that division.
I know you hate to even think about it. I know you hate to even talk about it. But real quick, the AFC West, or East rather, has got some interesting scenarios brewing with the Miami Dolphins now, almost kind of like the New York Giants, rather
six-game winning streak
sitting there. Yeah, they're sitting there at 7-4, and as you point out, 6-game winning streak. Consider for a moment that they were 1-4 for that winning streak. They're now currently 6-4. Not a dissimilar situation to the New York Giants, who they themselves are on a 6-game winning streak as well, and were 2-3 before their winning streak began. So two teams that are rather similar in nature, both the Miami Dolphins and the New York Giants, sitting in second place in their division, quietly, very quietly, kind of making some noise. Yet the Buffalo Bills sit there right behind Miami at 6-5. You've got yourself a little bit of a competitive AFC East as well.
Yeah. I still don't think either one of them teams make the playoffs. So, you know,
wow. Okay.
I think when it's all said and done, you know, you're going to – Miami's sitting there right now at 7-4. Okay, maybe they end at 9-7. That's not going to make the playoffs. Buffalo, I think you're looking at an 8-8 team when it's all said and done. Their quarterback, their offense – I don't know. They just, something's not right with that team. So I'll still stick to my original prediction. I still think you're going to see, you might see two wild cards come out of the West. You might see three teams come out of the West when it's all said and done. I just don't think Miami's going to stay there. Cause you know, I saw a thing there again. Every week I seem to bring it up here on Monday Night Countdown, where they were talking about the quiet 6-game winning streak. And they kind of, you know, the guys on the set kind of went into a, you know, who they played. They haven't played anybody. And it's true. They really hit a nice soft spot in their schedule. So So, you know, we'll have to see how things go, you know, throughout the year and how it ends. But I just, Miami doesn't pass the eye test for me. They just don't. You know, and that's not me being, I don't like the Jets and Dolphins, but Ryan Tannehill to me is not a starting NFL quarterback. I just don't see him as that franchise guy. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I think I look at the teams in the AFC West. You look at the Broncos. I think head-to-head, the Broncos are a better team than the Dolphins. I think clearly the Chiefs and Raiders are better teams than the Dolphins. You know what I mean? So if I'm going to do some comparison, I think when it all shakes out, I think, you know, Miami's going to be on the outside looking in.
I might agree with you that as much as I hate to almost admit it, that I think Kansas City probably is a better team.
Kansas City has proven in the last few weeks they're for real. I mean, they always seem to, don't they?
At this time of year, they always seem to, don't they? I mean, it's amazing.
If you want to go to the old adage of defense wins in the playoffs, you know, yep. I'd watch out, Oakland, because Kansas City's got a way better defense than you do.
Yep.
I mean, Kansas City just are over.
A blah team to me. That's the only thing that I – every year it's the same thing. They're just a blah team. You know, they just – I don't know. There's something just that just doesn't inspire me about them. Not that necessarily Miami.
That's the way I see the Dolphins.
I know.
That's
not
the,
that necessarily
exact way
Miami
I see the
does either. I hear you. Not that Miami does either. That's why I think in some respects I was a little bit surprised when I'm hearing, well, Miami sits there 7-4 and, in a possible wild card position. I'm like, whoa.
The key to the AFC playoffs is going to be what the Denver Broncos do. If they can stop the bleeding, you know, it's hard to say stop the bleeding when you're sitting there at 7-4, but you know, they have had a couple games recently, you know, that they've not looked so good and they lost the division game to the Chiefs this last week. You know, if they can slow that down and, you know, I think they'll find a way to make the playoffs over the Dolphins. It's just I don't know, that's the way I see it.
Well, we'll keep our eye on it for sure. We'll keep our eye on all of. I mean, I think we have just about touched on every single team in both conferences that possibly could have any impact whatsoever. If anybody wants to jump in with us, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. We're talking all things NFL here this evening on the Red Zone Blitz, taking a look specifically at this past week, week 12. And let's take a look, Brandon, at the Detroit and Minnesota game. And that was that early game on Turkey Day. The first game, 12:30 p.m. kickoff time, Eastern time. Not terribly surprised Detroit won this. This was a home game for Detroit. Minnesota coming in there, I kind of thought perhaps maybe Minnesota might turn it around. I know that Sidekick and I both picked Minnesota to win this one. You would pick Detroit to win this game. It was a home game, like I said, on Thanksgiving Day for Detroit. So I guess in some respects you kind of got to think that, well, you know, that gave them, you know, maybe the impetus was a little bit more on them that way. Matt Stafford this past Thursday, 23 of 40, 232 yards and a touchdown. They did get a little bit of a ground game going. Of course, 30 of the 94 yards came from Matt Stafford himself. So I guess it would be considered a very little part of the game was a ground game. Sam Bradford was 31 of 37, 224 yards. No touchdowns, one interception. they had only had 82 yards on the ground. Minnesota just doesn't look like they did. Well, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the season, do they? I mean, they just don't look like the same. And I hate to say, perhaps maybe it goes right back to North Turner. You know, I don't know, but they don't look like the same team. They don't look confident.
I think Zimmer. I think whatever's going on with Zimmer behind closed doors is affecting the team and maybe their confidence. Maybe that's the word. You know, the team just doesn't look confident like they did beginning of the year.
This was a tough game for.
And I don't think it's something you're going to get back in the middle of the year. You know what I mean? I don't think they're going to get back what they had. You know what I mean? And they were winning games. They were winning, you know, pretty easily, pretty handily. They won games that people didn't expect them to win, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think you're getting back to that very simply. You know what I mean?
It is difficult
especially
to get something.
Discord in the locker room, maybe.
Yep. And I'll tell you, if they could have pulled off a win on this one, it really would have gone a long way because, I mean, when you take a look, Minnesota has got to play Dallas on Thursday night. That's the Thursday night game this week. Now, the game is in Minnesota. Dallas going to Minnesota. Dallas, however, is a 3.5-point favorite. Both of these teams played on Thursday, so both of them have been off for a week. So, you know, both will be rested. The game's in Minnesota. But Dallas, I mean, a heavy 3.5-point road favorite going into Minnesota on this one. You know, you've got to, I mean, in some respects, if I'm betting on this one, you know, I'm putting money on Dallas. Dallas is going to go 11-1. Minnesota's going to drop another. They're going to drop to 6-6. As I pointed out, if Green Bay wins this coming week, that puts them in a tie for second place. Suddenly Green Bay's back in the conversation after having a really, really bad start to everything so far this season. But
well, I mean, you almost got to, you know, looking at the matchups, I mean, you almost got to say Green Bay, this is their shot if they want to get back into it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like Minnesota, as you said, pointed out, is already a huge underdog at home to Dallas. Dallas hasn't shown any signs of weakness really anywhere. You know, they played pretty much solid football week in, week out. Green Bay, you know, looked better on Monday night against the Eagles. You know, if they can keep that going, you know, turn that into a winning streak. And, you know, Detroit, I think Detroit's kind of cemented themselves at the top. And I don't know if Green Bay has enough to get to them. You know, I don't know. We'd have to look at the schedule that plays out, but. You know, you got to think they probably play each other at least once because, you know, Minnesota just played Detroit. So Green Bay probably has, you know, a future date with Green Bay with, you know, Green Bay and Detroit have a future game, I'm sure. So, you know, there's one, you know, that the Green Bay could definitely make up a whole game. But I'd have to look at the rest of the Lions schedule. But the way they've been playing, I don't know. They look like a solid team to me right now. At least let's put it this way, they look way more put together than the Vikings do. And you could see that clearly on Thanksgiving Day, at least to me.
And let me ask you this, because here's where I'm a little bit, I guess I try to put my finger on it. Where do you see that the Vikings are falling off? Because I got to be honest with you. Originally, I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be the play of Sam Bradford, right? Well, I don't know.
I'm not going to point at one player. They just look disjointed. They don't look together like they were in the beginning of the year.
Okay.
You know, they look solid on both sides of the ball from the start of the season, and they don't look good really on either side right now. And I don't know if that's a function of the, you know, the issues going on with the coaching staff or what, but. You got to think the players weren't happy getting called out by their head coach, getting called soft in the post-game press conference. I don't think that went over real well in that locker room. Just a hunch.
Yeah, you know, because I'm just looking at right now, season to date, year to date stats for Sam Bradford. His numbers are not bad, Brandon.
No.
71.3 completion percentage on his passing, 2,415 yards through the air. Average yards per pass is 7 yards a pass. He's got 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and his passer rating is 98.3. His numbers are not horrible. So it's difficult to sit here and say, well, it's the play of the quarterback. No, I wouldn't say it's the play of the quarterback. They haven't had a ground game all year long. We knew that. So you can't necessarily say it's the ground game. Minnesota defense is still ranked number 3 in the NFL, believe it or not. They're ranked number 3. They're only allowing 17.5 points per game. That's after what? 12 games? I guess 11 games. So that's still pretty good. But you're right. Eye test-wise, they just don't look cohesive. They don't look together. That's what it comes down to. Very difficult to put your finger on exactly what the problem is. You know,
yeah,
it's just
I don't
a matter
know.
Of doing the eye test. Doing
they're
the
saying,
eye test.
They're saying that there's a chance we could see Adrian Peterson back at some point in the month of December. You know, maybe he gives them a spark and gets them going in the right direction. I don't know if one player can make that big a difference, but, you know, Peterson might be that guy. I don't know.
Any chance we're going to see him this week? Because God knows they would need him with Dallas coming in and being a three and a half point.
When I read it last week, I think he was still a couple weeks away.
Wow.
They were saying maybe like the second week of December. So he's probably still like 2 weeks away. But that's still not, you know, if they're still in it, you know, they get him back with 2-3 games left. I mean, because what are we playing? What are they playing this week? Let's see. They're going to be playing their, what are they? What are they? They're 6-5. So they're going to play game 12 this week. They'll play another game. Yeah, if they get him back for like the last three, that could make a difference.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know that one guy is going to make that big a difference, but.
Well, he made a difference for him last year, because if you recall, I mean, Minnesota won the division last year, and really when it came right down to it, it wasn't because of Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
Teddy Bridgewater, it was because of Adrian Peterson. That's really what it was last year. So it's going to be a matter of when he gets in there, if it's going to be too little, too late. That's what it'll be a matter of. Just out of curiosity, let me just see here real quick. Am I? I just wanted to pull up the Vikings schedule here real quick and see what we're looking at. We got the Dallas Cowboys, of course, this week. And I just mentioned that Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. Next week, Minnesota is in Jacksonville. Then they host the Colts. Then they're at Green Bay. And finally, they host the Bears. Jacksonville, Colts, Packers, Bears.
The Packers is the only real tough schedule game on their schedule, in my opinion.
Yep. Yep, I would agree with you.
They should win those other three.
I would agree with you.
Now, whether they do or not, I don't know. But they should win those three.
Yep. All right, I would agree with you on that. All right, now, we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys played Turkey Day, played Thanksgiving as well. 31-26, as you pointed out, they only won that game by 5 points over the Washington Redskins. Holy smokes, look at the numbers that Kirk Cousins put up. 41 of 53. I do recall that people were saying he was an absolute fantasy monster. 41 of 53, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he had a passer rating of 120.7. Dak Prescott, 17 of 24, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, and a 108.9. Ezekiel Elliott, 97 yards on the ground and 23 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, rushing for Ezekiel Elliott. Dak Prescott had a rushing touchdown as well. Honest God, Brandon, I'm going to tell you something right now. This Cowboys team is just stupid. I mean, it's just stupid. Washington really, really, as you pointed out, really gave them a fight. It's a shame Washington doesn't have a ground game to speak of. They had to throw the ball. 41 of 53, as I pointed out, for Cousins. 449 yards he put up. 449 yards. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw a quarterback throw the ball for 450 yards in one game. That's insane. But Washington stuck with them and really gave it their all. Actually outscored them in the fourth quarter, 20-14, but came up short. Washington's showing that offensively they can play with other teams and defensively as well. They don't have a ground game, but offensively they can put the ball in the air. Dallas just came up bigger at the right time. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Dallas has been doing all year, if you think about it. You know, they do what they got to do to beat the team in front of them. A lot of times it's not even close. So, you know, it is what it is. I like the Redskins moving in.
Yep. Yeah, I'll tell you, like we've already talked about, I look at the Redskins and think to myself, they're actually, to me, they look like a better team than the Giants. They look like a better team than the Giants. And yet, in this particular game, despite giving it a really, really strong effort, they just came up short against the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm thinking to myself, I think that's what we can expect to see happen for the remainder of the season for anybody that plays the Dallas Cowboys. You're going to come up short against this Dallas Cowboys team. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Right? To me, it blows me away. I'm just blown away. I'm blown away by the Dallas Cowboys. I just never expected it. Never expected it at all.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. Two rookies on offense that are, you know, both in the talk for MVP. I don't know. I don't think anybody would have predicted that. You know, people were calling Jerry Jones nuts for taking Ezekiel Elliott when they did where they did. I know you were a fan of Prescott prior to them even drafting him. You wanted the Eagles to take him, and, you know, might not have been a bad idea. I mean, I'm not saying Wentz is bad. I think Wentz has played well. I don't know. I don't think anybody would have ever predicted Dallas to be where
yep.
they are.
Nope. What are they? 10-1. Not 10-1. Mm-mm. And 10 games in a row. Holy smokes.
And a solid 10-1.
Yeah, it
I
sure
mean,
is.
Really. Like they're winning by the skin of their teeth. They look good doing it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to Dallas 35-30 against the Steelers 2 weeks ago. That was a close one, but now this week, as
yeah,
I pointed
you're
out,
you're talking about a potential division winner there. You know, and we just talked about the Redskins and how good they, you know, what they did losing to the Cowboys by 5. So I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think you got to give Dallas some props. And I'm not a Cowboys fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope.
You know that, but you know. You cannot. I can't help but be impressed with this team. I mean, it's think about it. It's almost like the second coming of the triplets. I mean, you had Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith for all those years. We could see Prescott, you know, Elliott and Dez Bryant for the next few. I mean, Dez isn't mm-hmm. that old. I mean, he might be, what, 3-4 years into the league compared to the others? Maybe 5 at most? I think he's still got a few years ahead of him yet.
Yep.
So, you know, this team could be set for a long time to come. Now,
yeah, I agree.
They do have an aging you know, Jason Witten, and Witten is still productive. But I mean, even Beasley is coming into his own this year as their kind of third receiver. I mean, I don't even know if you can see maybe even number two. Terrence Williams hasn't done much at all, really, compared to what Beasley's done. So Dallas definitely has a lot of pieces. Beasley, you know, he's that little quick, you know, Wes Welker type of, you know, when Wes Welker was in his prime, you know, Danny Amendola looked that way for a while. Edelman looks that way at times where they're, you know, they find ways to get open. And Beasley, you know, looks just like they did when they were young, when they were his age. So, you know, Dallas is in good shape, I think.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I was actually sitting and thinking today, boy, I could see myself targeting Cole Beasley for my fantasy team for next year.
Well, him and Prescott have some kind of chemistry because, you know, he's getting a lot of catches.
I
would imagine with the games Bryant missed, you know, due to injury early in the year, he might be Dallas's leading receiver. I'd have to look that up, but.
I'm thinking ahead to next year's fantasy draft already. And, thinking, Cole Beasley, yeah, that might be the guy I would have to target in the draft next year to match up with my franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott.
I bet you could get him in the, you know,
I'll bet you
fifth
I could.
Rounds.
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to spend a high pick either.
Exactly right. It's already been considered. Taking a look at the remaining schedule for the Dallas Cowboys, as I pointed out, they're going to be in Minnesota to play the Vikings this week. They're already favored. Then they go on the road to play the Giants the week after. They host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They host the Detroit Lions. And then they have to go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. Excuse me, and at some point, you know, like it's been already discussed here, when the Eagles thought that final game might actually mean something for the Eagles, which I don't think it does now at this point, the thinking had been, well, more than likely the Dallas Cowboys would probably be resting a lot of their players because, look, you know, I think there are scenarios that are out there right now that indicate that the Dallas Cowboys could clinch a playoff spot this week. So with a win, if they get a win, I think they clinch a playoff spot. So, but there's their schedule. So for the remaining five games. Now we have spent a lot of time here talking about the NFC East. So we'll stick with it for a moment. Sunday game here between the Giants and the Cleveland Browns. Giants won that game 27-13, and we were viewing in on that game quite a bit of it, actually, Brandon. And I got to tell you, honestly, I was, you know, you look at the numbers here. Eli Manning was 15 of 27 for 194 yards. He had three touchdowns. Passer rating of 115.4. They did manage to get 104 yards on the ground. I watched a good portion of this game, or at least I was, you know, we had it on and I was keeping my eye on it. It was against the Cleveland Browns. We know what the Cleveland Browns were. The Giants were up 14-6 at the half, and it remained 14-6 all through the third quarter. It took until the fourth quarter when the Giants ultimately then went ahead 27-13. I remember watching this game and feeling very frustrated watching the Giants. They're a stop and start sort of team. They go in, they put in three plays, they put in six plays, and then they're off the field. And then the other team was got. Then their defensive side comes in, and they held Cleveland. And then the offense went back out on the field, and the offense would do the same thing: three and out. And then, I mean, it was a very, very – there was no flow to the game is what I came away from. And that's kind of the way I have felt about this Giants team all season long. There's no real flow to this Giants team. They don't feel like a smooth-running machine at all. And we're talking about the Cleveland Browns. They should have wiped up the field with the Cleveland Browns by halftime. And yet at halftime, it was only 14-6. The Giants, to me, as I've already pointed out, they just don't feel like the same type of a power team the way the Redskins are.
I think the Redskins are, you know, eye test wise, I like them better. I think the Redskins are better than the Giants. I agree with you. The Giants do not, they just don't have, I don't know, they have no flow on offense.
Right.
Like you said,
right.
They'll do, you know, 3-and-out, 6-and-out, you know, but they get a big play because they got, you know, Odell Beckham and they got some solid, you know, receivers on the field. And I was reading just the other day, they might be pulling, what's his name? The running back you had at the starting year went on IR. He's actually coming back, Shane Vereen, you know? And that could help them, but
That could help.
A little. But we'll see, you know, what kind of, you know. We'll see how it goes. I don't know that it's going to change getting one player back. I think what they are is they got, you know, big play caliber people. You know? And I think that's what keeps them afloat. Where I think the Redskins mm-hmm. are more consistent, more fluid offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't know. I will see. I would not be shocked if the Washington Redskins finish ahead of the New York Giants. It's a tough road to hoe because they do have two wins on them. Yeah, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I it wouldn't surprise me if they finished ahead of them. I was just looking to pull up the Giants schedule as well, just for the fun of it, to see what the Giants schedule looks like in the remaining five. But I will say this. I mean, when you're looking at this box score, you know, one of the things that does jump out at me, of course, again, as I point out, you know, we're talking about this was a game against the Cleveland Browns. You know, I hate to completely discount the Cleveland Browns, but look, folks, they haven't won a game all season. But, you know, look, they are an NFL team nonetheless. Cleveland Browns, the New York Giants, they hit the quarterback 12 times. They sacked him 7 times. You know, holy smokes. I mean, they really, really, the Giants defense really put some pressure on the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, defensively they can, I guess they can bring it to bear a little bit. But like I said, again, it was against the Cleveland Browns. The next five games for the New York Giants, they're going to be at Pittsburgh this week.
That could be a loss.
And I'm just looking to see. I'm looking to see what the line is on that one. Pittsburgh is favored by 6.
Wow.
On that one. So
big, that's
at
a
Pittsburgh,
big line.
Yeah, they will host the Dallas Cowboys. They will host the Detroit Lions. They will go to Philadelphia, and they will close out the season on the road at the Redskins. Holy smokes.
They could have 4 out of 5 losses there. I think the Eagles and the Lions are the two wild card games, one or the other. I think for sure they lose to Pittsburgh this week. I think for sure they lose to Dallas. I think Dallas has targeted that game since the week one debacle they lost in the fourth quarter. You know, the Lions, I think, are on an upswing. I don't know. You know, I don't know if they have enough for the Giants. The Giants might pull that out. The Eagles, who knows? You know, they could go either way. And if the Redskins have a shot at anything, that game in Washington, I love the Redskins in that spot. And you know Eli Manning, he's late season, you know, not doing so hot all the time. So, yeah, I could easily see the Redskins finishing ahead of the Giants. Now, whether it happens or not, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting setup there. God, that would have been interesting too had the Eagles been
yeah,
into
right?
it. Had the Eagles been part of the mix here, which I really, really don't believe. I don't care what anybody says. At 5-6, I have them out of it. I have them out of it, seriously. So I don't see the Philadelphia Eagles being a part of any kind of playoff chit chat at all at this point. Not any longer, anyhow. Not after last night's game. I just lost a couple of my windows here. Let me just see if I can get them back here real fast.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not able. I'm kind of trying to do the stats on an iPad tonight because I've noticed my choppiness and sound cutout is when I have all these websites that I need the information from. They keep wrecking my Blog Talk connection. So have I sounded better tonight by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah, because I can't keep Pro Football Talk open. I can't keep either NFL.com or ESPN open for the scores. If I can keep the standing page open, like for the records, because that page doesn't seem to refresh, but the other ones constantly are refreshing, and I think that's the key to some of my connection issues. So I'm trying to do the stats on
when
a separate device.
When it's
and it
cutting
seems
in
to
and
work
out.
Better.
Yeah,
it seems to work a little better. So I'm gonna see
that
how this
makes
flies
sense.
Here.
That makes sense. When you were cutting in and out would be when it's refreshing.
Yes.
That would
well,
make a lot of sense.
I use Firefox primarily, so I could see the tab spinning. And I'm like, why is it spinning? And that's when I started closing the ones that were spinning. And, you know, I'm just winging it with what I can do with another device. And, it's better for the long run, I think, without having that choppy connection. So, sorry. If it seems I'm a little behind on the stats sometime, I might be. But I think it's better overall, so...
Yeah, I would agree with you. Not a problem. And, of course, I don't, I've got the advantage of being able to work from two different units altogether. So that's
and you're
why
hardwired. I'm running off Wi-Fi. So there's a big difference.
Exactly.
That gives you a lot more bandwidth to the pipe, as they say.
All right. Well, anyhow, we've spent a lot of time here talking about the NFC East.
Well,
Giants,
if you remember correctly, I predicted the Redskins to win it in the beginning, and I thought the Giants were going to be last. So clearly I was off a little, but we'll see how – I'm kind of curious to see how it's going to play out between those two teams. I mean, Dallas has pretty much distinguished themselves as the winner at this point. So, unless there's a major meltdown or something, I think we pretty much know who's winning the division. But I'm curious to see how second and third place between the Redskins and the Giants. Because, eye test-wise, I like the Redskins a lot better. I think Kirk Cousins has made himself a small fortune this year because he's playing on a franchise tag this year. If the Redskins still don't want to commit and give him a big contract, they can refranchise him. But they got to bump his salary 20% over what he was already making as the franchise quarterback. Now, think about that the average of the top five quarterbacks in the league, and now you're going to bump that by 20% because you're franchising them 2 years in a row? Whew, that's going to be between this year and next year, the number's ridiculous. The Redskins, if they were smart, they'd just sign this guy. But, some of the numbers you pointed out, I don't know what they're afraid of. I don't know if they have a little, hesitation because of how the RG3 thing went down when it was all said and done. I don't know, but Kirk Cousins has proven himself to be a solid NFL starter.
If you had been a general manager at the beginning of this season, would you have signed Kirk Cousins to a long term? I would.
Yes, I would because I like what he's done so far. To me, he's a better quarterback than guys like Cutler, certainly Kaepernick. I'd put him ahead of Tannehill. And all these guys I'm bringing up have already signed the big $100 million contract. I got to say, I put Kirk Cousins ahead of all three of them easily going into this year. and he's done nothing to change that.
I might as well, but that's me saying that now, not prior to the season beginning.
You don't think Kirk Cousins was a better quarterback going into this year? I mean, I think we pretty much knew what Jay Cutler's been.
I think the Washington Redskins did exactly what a lot of people like myself were unsure about. I think they did exactly what all of us kind of felt, which was, really? Is this guy a franchise quarterback? That was the question. And I think that, as you're pointing out, I think Kirk Cousins has proven that perhaps he is. But I think they needed to do exactly what they did this year. Not sign him to a 5-year deal, but give him that 1-year franchise and say, okay, it's all yours. We're going to give you full reign. Now you go show us. And he's done exactly what he needed to do. I say kudos to him. I think it's fantastic for him. But I think the Washington Redskins did exactly the right thing. And I think they did what, as I'm pointing out, what I think a lot of football fans had a lot of nagging doubts out there were thinking themselves. I'm surprised that you're actually saying, oh, no, you would have had no problem signing him.
I'm just going based off of what we've seen in the NFL. A starting quarterback who's a starting quarterback in this league, be him good or bad, is getting $100 million deals left and right. When you got guys like Tannehill, Kaepernick, and Cutler, who are all basically on the outs with their teams, but maybe not Tannehill on the outs, but, there's question about the other two for sure on the outs with their teams. Kirk Cousins kind of earned that job, I think, last year by taking that team to the playoffs, with the distraction of RG3 being there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe. I still think that what Washington did, I think they went the right route. That's just my personal opinion. Now, ultimately in the end, they're gonna end up having to sign the contract ultimately at the end of this season. But I'm gonna be honest with you, if I'm in the Washington Redskins front office, I'm feeling a lot more confident about my decision at the end of this season than I would have at the end of last season. That's all I'm saying. I think they did the right thing.
Here's the thing. What if it ends up costing them, say, 20% a year over the term length of the contract than they could have signed the beginning of this year? In other words, has his value gone up, and is he not have them between the proverbial rock and a hard place after he's been franchised once and what they have to do to franchise him a second time? In other words, he earned himself way more money by performing well under the tag. I think you'd be better off, signing him before that.
Well, I don't know, though, Brandon. I think that's a matter of philosophy, because I'm going to be honest with you. I would rather pay the bigger bucks for the shorter term. And if I have to get put over a barrel now by Kirk Cousins for a 5-year deal now, I'd rather have to deal with that now.
Duck.
Sign a stiff for 5 years or 6 years, as happened in, as you're pointing out, Miami, Chicago. Hey, if we wanted to, we could even use Phil Rivers in San Diego, because I'm going to be honest with you, I think San Diego would have moved away from Phil Rivers by now if it weren't for the contract. I would rather that than have to hang on to guys like Cutler. I'm going to be honest with you. That's just my personal opinion.
I wouldn't put Rivers
in
the same
management
category.
It's a management philosophy.
Yeah, but Rivers is going to make some money this year, too, because he's a free agent. He's in the last year of his deal. They could have got rid of him if they wanted to. So, I don't know. I think you're going to see Cutler. I don't think Kaepernick stays in the 49ers unless he magically starts to play better. You could see a couple other guys on the move, I think, this year. I think you're going to see some more quarterback movement this year than you've seen in the past. And I'm not saying, you know, anybody's going to make Cutler a starter, but somebody's going to sign him and take a shot.
Well, yeah, probably. I don't know. Philip Rivers, do you think he – does San Diego hang with him?
I think the question from what I'm reading is more, is he going to re-sign with them? He doesn't want to move. He has a fleet of kids. He has like a baseball team of kids. I think he's up to like 8 or 9. And he doesn't want to relocate his family. So, you know, that's a key for Rivers. He was not pleased talking about some of the moves, you know, that they were, you know, that they were talking about with, you know, the Chargers. So I don't know. And he, you know, he is 35, 36 ish.
Yeah. He's up there. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what he does. I mean, the fact that the Chargers are probably going to be in San Diego for another year or two at this point, it doesn't look like they're eminently moving. I think if they come to a 3-year deal or something, he'll probably do it. But I think it's more of a question of what Rivers wants. I think if the Chargers – I think this is what I think. I think for whatever reason, Melvin Gordon has had a great year. If they can get some consistency out of their receiving core, because there's been times Rivers puts up huge numbers, you know, and somebody's got to be catching that ball. You know, they can get some consistency in the receiver core and, you know, add a piece or two on the other side of the ball. I think the Chargers could be a solid team. I think that the biggest thing hurting the Chargers is they play in the AFC West, and you got the Broncos and the Raiders and the Chiefs, you know, in the same division. If you take the Chargers and put them in, say, the AFC South, they're going to win that division going away, or at least they'll be going to be way more competitive than they are. How about that? Maybe not going away.
Well, you might be right. Yeah, there's a couple of nagging things about the San Diego Chargers, a couple of little naggy things. I mean, their ground game is always a nagging little issue. I don't know. Defensive side of the ball is always a nagging issue. I mean, look, Philip Rivers is the number 4 quarterback in the league this year in yardage right now, 3,128 yards.
Number 4 out of 32. That's pretty good.
That's in yardage now. Now, you know, when you take a look at things like his percentage, completion percentage, well, it's typical Phil Rivers, 62.9, which is on the low side. Passer rating, 93.9, which is a little bit lower than most. Interception rate is up again this year. You know, one of the numbers, some of the stats I did want to throw out there, you know, we were just talking about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is number 2 in the league in yardage, 3,540 yards so far this year. 20 touchdowns, 7 interceptions for Kirk Cousins, and an average 101.4 passer rating. So, Philip Rivers, I don't know. I suppose, you know, you point out his age. He is 34, you're right. Probably going to be 35.
Yeah, I don't see him going to another team. I think he stays in with the Chargers or not at all. That's just my opinion. I don't think anybody's going to throw, you know, he's made a ton of money already. You know what I mean? He's
right,
not, he was,
right.
He was a, what, the first, he was, him and
was
Eli
first
were the, yeah,
first
he was the first round.
Yeah.
So he's had plenty of money. He's not, and you know, I don't care how many kids the guy has. He's, you know, he's, I think he's set with that. So, you know, it's probably, you know, more a matter of, you know, if the right deal's made, you know, that he, you know, that it suits him. You don't often hear about quarterbacks, you know, especially a starting quarterback, you know, who, whether or not you want to call him, he's definitely in the second tier of quarterbacks. I wouldn't put him in the first tier.
No.
But, you know, he's certainly a solid NFL starter. And if he's in the right situation, but you don't ever hear guys say, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go here. I don't want to go there. I want to stay where I am, you know, and I'm in the last year of my deal. I may be done. You don't hear that often coming out of a, you know, an NFL quarterback's mouth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not at 34, well, 35. I mean, that's, I mean, you got Drew Brees, who's what, 36 and trying to stay around as long as he possibly can.
Well, now, what do you think? I mean, if Phil Rivers, and I might be inclined to agree with you. I think San Diego probably does re-sign him. Because as I've already pointed out, this is not a great year for quarterbacks coming out in the draft. All right, that's number one. Number two, gosh,
well,
almighty,
they haven't
drafted
a young guy yet either. They haven't.
You know,
I can't tell you the last quarterback they drafted besides the whole, you know, Eli Manning / Philip Rivers trade thing. Because
yeah,
technically,
right, exactly.
The Chargers drafted Eli, and
mm-hmm.
then they worked the trade out with the Giants. So, you know, I don't. You know, they got to start looking for that next quarterback, at least get somebody on the roster who could be that guy. I don't think they have anybody at this moment in time.
Well, I was just checking their depth chart. I don't even know who the backup is. Oh, it's Kellen Clemens is the backup
mm-hmm.
for
Yeah,
for,
he's not the
Phillip
future.
No.
Certainly not the future. So, yeah, the Chargers will have to figure out, you know, what the plan moving forward is. I would expect to see Phillip Rivers back.
3 years? They signed up to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, 3 to 4 maybe. You know, I don't see Phillip Rivers signing the contract that takes him to 40, to age 40. He's already talking about, you know, being done. Well, when you start saying that, you know, what's the old adage? When you start talking about being retired, you should be. Because you're already not in the game mentally. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out when it's all said and done.
Now, you had mentioned that you could see some other quarterbacks moving around in the offseason, just out of curiosity, because I'm looking at the list of quarterbacks across the league, and I'm trying to figure out who might be, you know, moving around. We've kind of perhaps maybe, let's just say for sake of argument, we've kind of talked our way out of Phillip Rivers moving out of San Diego. Who else is that you're aware of is up, is a free agent up that might make a move?
Well, like I said, we already talked about, you know, Cutler's probably getting cut, even though he's not a free
right.
agent.
Same for
Colin Kaepernick. He's not a free agent, but you're probably going to see some movement there. As far as other free agents, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, we know Ryan Fitzpatrick at the Jets signed a 1-year deal. I don't know how the structure of Tannehill's deal is with the Dolphins, because believe it or not, the Dolphins were a place I heard Cutler could end up. And I certainly don't think they're going to sign Cutler to any kind of money deal while they're still paying Tannehill. So, you know, that situation would have to kind of work itself out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what the Cardinals and Carson Palmer are going to do moving forward. You know, I don't see that Carson Palmer's definitely had a drop off. You know, if he has a big, you know, I don't know if he's a free agent, but if his contract, you know, is say 15, 16 million next year, I don't know if the Cardinals would be necessarily ready to pay him that at this point in his career. Maybe Drew Stanton, you know, gets a shot in Arizona. We already talked about Cousins. He is a flat out free agent. They're going to have to either, you know, franchise him or sign him to a deal. So the Redskins are going to have to do something with Kirk Cousins. I don't see him moving.
What do you think happens to Tony Romo?
He's probably on the way out. You got to think. I mean, he's not a free agent, but I mean, you're not going to pay him, you know, again, you're not going to pay Tony Romo 15, 16 million to sit on the bench behind Prescott, who's making a third of that or a quarter of that. Probably he's on his rookie deal. He was what, a second or a third round pick? I forget. Where did Prescott go? It was either 2 or 3. So he's not making
big money.
Well, then he's really not making big money. Because we all know what the rookie, you know, it's all slotted for the rookies now. You know, I don't know, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, what's Cleveland going to do with their six quarterbacks that they had on their roster this year? You know, is RG3 staying there? Is Josh McCown staying there? You know, Charlie Whitehurst, I think, is already gone, but he was already gone before that. So I don't know.
That's
what about Blake Bortles and Blake Bortles in Jacksonville?
Bortles' contract is good through 2018. He's an unrestricted free agent after 18.
Okay.
But
do you think the Jaguars, if they have an opportunity to sign somebody they think could do better, you don't think they cut ties with him?
No,
I don't think it's structured properly. I don't know.
No, I don't. I think last season gave him the benefit of at least two seasons.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk in Jacksonville that they're very, very disappointed. Everybody in Jacksonville is very disappointed with what has occurred this past season with this team. Everybody thought they were going to take the step forward from last year. And last year they had a season that was actually a bit surprising. Most people didn't expect it. You really can't blame, though, everything that's happened in Jacksonville. You can't put the blame at the feet of Blake Bortles. I think Blake Bortles' play from last season granted him a minimum of two seasons. So he had a bad season this year. If he were to have another one, if there were to be – actually, he didn't have a bad season. But if the team has another bad season next year, then maybe you see some sort of movement in that direction. Of course, the question, too, is whether, in fact, that head coach is going to be there next season. There's been a lot of talk that – who is that? That's Gus Bradley, right? That Gus Bradley might be – you know, he could be cut in the off season. He might be one of the ones that's gone come Black Monday. If that's the case, then Blake Bortles is definitely there. They're not going to make
right.
a move in quarterback.
But I mean, we've already talked about, you know, half a dozen, you know, some of them may not be starters, but I think you're going to see, you know, we're certainly going to see Kaepernick and Cutler moved. And I believe they'll probably both get a shot somewhere else. Because they've, you know, Cutler's, you know, on his second team, but he's had his moments and he has a super strong arm. You know, if anybody could get him, you know, in the right place mentally, you know, and get some solid play out of him, I think somebody's going to take that shot. You know, one of those, you know, mid-tier teams who need a quarterback. I don't know, you know, if I'm, you know, Jay Cutler, do I want to go play for the Cleveland Browns? Probably not, but he might not have a choice. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And there's your next question. What about the Chicago Bears? Where do they go from here? They don't have, I don't think they certainly have the next guy on the roster. Maybe that's a nice landing spot for Tony Romo. You know, they got a pretty good team. You know, I don't know. Maybe they're kind of still in a rebuild phase though. I don't know. But there's another place, you know, you have an opening.
God, their offensive,
you know, they move.
Their offensive line is horrible.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Oh, my God, their offensive line is absolutely terrible.
Well, I don't know where the ideal situation is for Tony Romo. I know you've said Denver, but
the problem with Denver is when are you going to get Paxton Lynch in the mix? That's
well,
the problem
yeah,
there.
I mean, you got Trevor Siemian now starting. You got Paxton Lynch you drafted. I don't think you can bring in a veteran guy. You know, you got to let it work out who's going to be your quarterback of the future among those two or rule them both out first. And I don't think you can rule Siemian out because he's been solid as their quarterback. Not great, but solid. You know, we're talking about, you know, in that it's being the best division in football. Well, that team's one of them, and he's their starting quarterback. So I just don't see that being a good place for Romo. I really don't. I mean,
well,
you're going to sit Siemian or Lynch for Tony Romo? I mean, that's the same situation he's in right
now. I think it's a good spot for him to go to if the position was untethered. If there is absolutely a vacancy, all right. It's
or he was signed as a backup. If he was signed
all
as
right,
a backup,
it's a great spot for him to go.
I don't know that Tony Romo is ready to sign as a backup. You know,
I don't think he is. Yeah, I don't think he is.
You know, three maybe
well,
$4 million.
Let's get it straight. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Brendan. I don't think that he is yet a backup quarterback. Jay Cutler is a backup quarterback. Okay.
I think if you got the right coach who could handle him,
He has a cannon of an arm, though. We've heard this Jay Cutler forever, though.
But, okay, how is he a backup if he can't play as a starter? Seriously, I mean, in the NFL, you need two competent quarterbacks at the very least.
What?
If you have that little faith in him.
How is Chase Daniel a backup?
Well, that's because I think the Eagles mismanaged their quarterback situation this offseason, and they got lucky that Teddy Bridgewater went down and they were able to move Sam Bradford for what they were. I mean, let's face it, if Teddy Bridgewater didn't get hurt and the Eagles didn't make that move, how much money do they have tied up in quarterbacks this year? And we would have not seen Wentz. We would have no idea what Wentz is all about. Or maybe now we'd just be seeing him.
How much, what is it, 40-some million dollars?
Yeah, it was $40 or $50 million till they moved him. You know, Chase Daniel, we haven't even seen on the field yet, have we?
Has he
even come in? Yeah,
he did. There was a game. There was a game, I think, for half a game or something like that when Wentz went down. But
he went down in the preseason, but I don't think he's going down yet in regular.
No, there was one game, I think, where he left a little bit early. But, they were saying the other day that Carson Wentz has started all 11 games.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. You know, Carson Wentz has done a very good job as a rookie quarterback.
If it wouldn't
be for Dak Prescott, you know, he'd probably be getting more, you know, notice as a rookie quarterback. Dak Prescott's kind of, you know, taking the spotlight off of Wentz and Goff because he's just been so good, you know. So,
agreed.
But if I'm the Eagles, I'm not unhappy with my decision to draft Wentz yet because he certainly shows – I like his field presence. I like everything he does. He doesn't make bad passes.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't think anybody inside the Eagles organization is regretting the move to get Carson Wentz. I don't think that's
the case
at all.
They need to get wide receivers. That's what that
exactly means. Right. That is exactly right.
And maybe a more durable main back because Ryan Matthews is – I don't know. Like tissue paper. I mean, the guy can't.
This is not a bad draft. This is not a horrible draft for receivers. We could do okay in this draft for a receiver.
Just saying.
Well, I agree with you.
Or sign a free agent, a decent, you know, not washed up free agent. You know,
Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah. That's the one. He's a free agent.
Keep this in mind because we were talking about the Cleveland Browns and them not having a quarterback. Just keep this one in mind, Brandon, and I got 60 seconds, she's telling me. They get the number one draft pick this year, plus they have another number one pick to go with. They've got two number one picks, Cleveland. So
Cleveland's
record
of drafting quarterbacks does not inspire anybody good.
Reminder, everybody, please be here with us on Thursday night for our Frat House Sports Show number 272 coming to you here Thursday night. That'll be December 1st at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be back here with you on Saturday afternoon, at 2 p.m. Eastern time for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. All right. Thanks very much for tuning in this evening. Hey, get out there and enjoy your sports, and we'll all catch you on Thursday night.